Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Total Screamers Podcast. My name is Sybil. Today I'm joined by Billy. Say hello, Billy.
Hello, mate. You right?
I'm all right, mate. Say hello, Jed.
Hello, mate.
Right, boys. So, rather than doing our usual Prem preview, we're going to fold it into an FPL episode as well. And the only reason I want to do this is because I actually did quite well for once. So I wasn't going to let a chance.
That was weeks ago, mate. Yeah, I know, but still.
I'm still buzzing off it. But we're going to use this to kind of preview this weekend's games. I'm glad internationals are over. Even though Scotland did quite well, we had quite a decent international break. And England have been dire to watch, which has been quite pleasing. Yeah, quite pleasing for me, but let's go on, mate, boys. Right, should we just have a brief overlook of the last game week? So, yeah, I did a free hit for the last game week because I didn't have enough players available, and it worked out well. I get 74 points, which is good for Simo. That's a light week for Jed normally, but... Decent for me.
I got 68, so...
Yeah, still beat you, mate, beat you. Which means I've climbed to a respectable 75th in Total Screamers Podcast League, which is quite nice. The main player... So my lineup was Nick Pope, who got me 2 points, Nico Williams, 1, Perisic, 2, Trippier, 5 points, should have had more. Cancelo, 9 points. In the midfield, I had Martinelli, who got me 3 points. De Bruyne, who got me 10. This is the one where it comes. Human Son did start, came on, scored a hat trick. There we go, 19 points.
I forgot about that.
You were unbearable for that afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. it was on purpose.
Oh, do you know what, Simo? For a little, when he scored the first goal, I was happy for you. I thought, oh, fair play. You know, Simo took a gamble. He's gone for Son. It hasn't really worked out. He's been on the bench, but you know, he's come good. It's paid off. And then by the time the third goal went in, I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake!
Yeah,
so someone shut him up.
I wasn't really a conversation. It was just me sending messages into the chat over and over and over again. You know?
Another one.
Oh,
again.
Another one. Right, my forward line. Mitrovic got me 2 points. Disappointing. Isak got me 9. Quite decent. And Haaland got me 12. Respectable. On the bench, had Iverson, who got me nothing. Andreas got me 1 point. Kouyaté, 0. And Nathan Patterson, who got 6 points, so I probably should have had him on the pitch, but I went with Nico Williams instead. 74 points, very good week for me. We're going to go get one of your boys. So let's see if we can find Jed first. There he is.
20th in the table.
20th in the table. Yeah,
20th. I'm climbing back up again after a poor week the week before.
But, 68 points. Talk us through your team.
So I had Danny Ward in goal because he was my sub goalkeeper. My other goalkeeper was Sanchez, who didn't play. So I thought, well, I'm not going to get any points either way, so I'll just leave him there.
Should have left Sanchez in, mate. You've wasted time, you know, moving that player. So you know, see that 2 seconds it takes you, you know, you're not back, mate. That was wasted energy.
the positive for me is that he didn't finish on minus points. Yeah. Even though he conceded six.
Do you know what? Do you know what?
I genuinely was expecting him to be on like minus one, but I think that only happens if they get sent off or get booked. Mm. Or something. So, yeah, either way, I wasn't getting any keeper points because I didn't want to waste a minus four on a transfer or a free transfer because he's not worth a lot. So it didn't really make a difference. I didn't have a lot of budget. So I've got Cancelo, 9 points. Saliba, 15 points. Solid week from him. Trippier, 5. Ben Mee with 1. De Bruyne with 10 in the midfield. Decent. Martinelli with 3. Kulusevski got 5. Jesus, 6 up front. Haaland was my captain, so I got 12. And then Mitrovic with the 2. And then my bench was just players who didn't play. Nothing added there. 68, though, I think is a pretty good return, considering. Because I wouldn't really have played all of those players, I think, if everyone was on the pitch. Like Robert Sanchez would have been in goal. I would probably have had Pascal Gross in somewhere as well. So,
do you know what? I'm kind of gutted, mate, because everybody owns Saliba. I own Saliba in my normal team. In fact, I think he might have gone in mine as well, you know. No, he's not actually. He's starting for me this week. Anyway, I was way ahead. I was like, right, made up loads of points that people didn't have, and then just enter Saliba to have a fucking great week. Everybody clawed back points in me, mate. I was fucking raging. Like, where is Billy Boy? Where is he sitting?
He smashed it.
I'm 57th. Just on the next page.
Just on the next page.
I'll be on the front
Shame
page
about
next
that.
Week, don't worry.
Shame about that. Talk to your team. 59 points, Billy.
Yeah, so I've wildcarded this week. I had Pope in goal, obviously just got the 2 points. Trippier with 5, went for Nico Williams. Well, I could only have Nico Williams, really, as my bench was similar, same as Jed, didn't have any playing players. So it was Nico Williams, Cancelo with the 9 points, Martinelli with 3, De Bruyne carrying us with 10, Kulusevski with 5, Andreas Pereira with the 1 point, Isaac with 9, Mitrovic with 2, and Captain Haaland. What was really depressing for me was the fact that I took out Saliba and I took out Saka on my last card.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a tough one to take. Let's put it that way. But to be fair, I expected Brentford to be a bit of a tougher test for Arsenal. But,
so did I
mean,
actually.
Arsenal are just on fire at the minute, aren't they, to be fair? So I'm looking forward to the game this weekend, though, against Tottenham. It's going to be a good game, I think. A very enjoyable one for
Definitely.
The neutral.
I think so, mate. I think so as well. Right, shall we go through our teams and then kind of mix in a wee preview? Mixing a bit of that preview sauce and this FPL episode.
Just a bit of seasoning for it.
Yeah, just a bit of spice. Anyway, right, my team for this week is Sanchez in goal, right? I know he's playing Liverpool, right? Danny Ward is on the bench, right? But I just cannot face having Danny Ward in goal. I know Leicester are playing Forest and the wise choice is to play Danny Ward, but
it wouldn't surprise me if we witnessed one of those awful Liverpool games where they just can't score. And, Sanchez actually gets a clean sheet.
I have Liverpool, 2 attacking Liverpool players in my lineup that I'll come to. So the idea is thinking as if Sanchez has a bad game, that means Liverpool's had a good game, and it means maybe I've got a few points elsewhere in the pitch. Because Danny Ward, but like honestly, if I could have a scarecrow and go, I would rather have a scarecrow than Danny Ward.
You probably keep some out as well.
Yeah, exactly, mate. You probably keep out a free kick or something, you know? So it's Sanchez for me. My back line is Kieran Trippier, another stay for me. Saliba comes back in, Nico Williams as well. My backline hasn't really changed in the last few weeks. It doesn't really let me down too much. In the midfield, I've got Mohamed Salah, one of the few Salah owners left. A lot of people have got rid of Salah. I'm just banking on that he just has to come good at some point this season. Salah has to come good.
He will too do good eventually.
He's too good a player. He's too good a player.
I think, to be honest with you, Simo, Brighton could be an interesting team to, if you wanted to go against the grain. I mean, it's a massive risk with Haaland being Haaland, but if you wanted to go against the grain with Brighton just losing Graham Potter, I think that could be
That's the coin flip, though, because new manager bounce is a thing.
It is, but it's not because he's been sacked because they've had a run of bad performances.
No.
He's not been sacked.
No.
It's going to be
right.
More of a deflation
thing. Have
they got a new
manager yet?
Yeah, it's that De Zerbi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yeah.
See, it's kind of the other way around, whereas because they've got a new manager, it's, well, they could have a new manager bounce, but they've not had a run of bad games in order to sack Graham Potter. He's just been nabbed by Chelsea. So it could kind of work the other way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. We'll see. I think it's a coin flip, honestly, when it comes in, when a new manager comes in, and that is still going to work out right away, and there's going to be players that are up for it because they can maybe get back into the squad. It interests me. I've watched a few of that guy's, what's his name again? I don't want to butcher his name. De Zerbi. I put in the thread.
Something like that, anyway.
Yeah, I put in a thread the other week there of a guy who did a bit of analysis of his career so far. He's quite like Graham Potter. I think he plays out for the back a wee bit more than Graham Potter. So it'll be interesting to see how players like Dunk, you know, adapt to that, because this guy apparently is absolutely insistent on playing along the floor, playing out from the back, and it's non-negotiable. So it'll be interesting to see. Also in this midfield, I have Zaha. My transfer is James Maddison. I had Antony in there, but I've opted for Maddison just because there's a good run of games. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know. I think if anybody's going to perform at Leicester, it might be him. He's always got a chance of doing an assist with a set piece or scoring a goal from a free kick or something like that. So, yeah, I've went with him. And then I've got Luis Diaz as well. So just banking on Liverpool having a bit of a good game there. And my front three is the front three that I'm pretty much settled on for the season, barring injuries. This will probably be my front three, barring great form from elsewhere in the league. This will probably be my front three for the foreseeable. Gabriel Jesus, Haaland and Ivan Toney.
Tony's been really good lately, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's got a decent run of fixtures as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's got Bournemouth this week. I think I back Brentford to do. I mean, Bournemouth are one of the teams that no one's really backing, but they're, you know, mid-table. And
they're on a caretaker bounce at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, caretaker bounce, you know.
Yeah, Gary O'Neill.
It's a thing. It's a real thing. So... I think Ivan Toney's a wee bit underrated for me. I don't know. He went away that England squad. Did he even play a minute?
No.
A bit pointless, really, isn't it?
Absolutely pointless, yeah. I can't. Let's not get into it.
Why would you want to have a look at him and Kane together?
I mean,
makes too much sense, Simo.
I'm sure he could do that in training, but for me, it doesn't make sense to call an England player up and not cap him. Just like,
yeah, cap
it's
him.
It's cruel, isn't it? It's cruel, more than anything. Yeah. He's giving a cap.
And what, so his first cap's going to come at the World Cup? Or is he just not going to go to the World Cup?
Or in a friendly or something like that before the World Cup? Like, come on. Like, yeah, can't be doing that.
Anyway,
I know we're going a bit off topic. No, let's stay on this topic. Harry Maguire. I remember we were talking in the chat where the game was going, and I think Billy said, have you just seen that from Maguire? And I thought you were referencing this massive wide open space that Maguire left, and I was like, oh god, no one's seen that. And then a guy on TikTok did a full on breakdown of analysis of it, and it went viral on Twitter as well. But I was like, yeah, this is what I was talking about in the chat. And he's just it's Sunday league, some of them. Anyway, we're getting off topic, but it really some Sunday league decisions.
The penalty he gave away was very, very poor.
It's amazing. He passed to nowhere, right? He gives the ball away, turns over possession, and he's pretty much his own box. He's one third of the pitch.
The thing is, he just kicks
the player. So poor. So poor. The worst thing is, there's times in the past when he's looked very, very good in an England shirt.
Did you see what Goldbridge said about it, though?
No.
I don't know why I didn't put it in the chat, but he basically said, if you go around your mum's of a weekend and she cooked you a lasagna, and it's shit. Basically, it's like still frozen in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go round next weekend and have it again. You've had the shits all week. You're feeling sick. You're not going to go back. But then she says, "But I made a nice one last year." So he's got credit in the bank. It's the same logic. He's shit now. Maybe a couple of years ago he's decent. But
I mean, but the thing is, was he decent, or did he just have a massive head and use it effectively? Did he just use big head effectively, or was he actually decent?
The one clip that always gets used, mate,
is the stuff when he went on that run at Leicester. See that dribble he does at Leicester? It's like down the left wing and he kind of cuts into the box. Like, he did it once. Did it fucking once. And it's always, always there. Fucking on fucking Twitter, on fucking, oh, the Harry Maguire haters. It's all fucking. And I was like, that was one fucking 5 years ago. Two, he did it once. Once. You know what I mean? You find a clip of me on a wing somewhere, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean, doesn't mean I should be starting. Jesus. Anyway, why did we go down the rabbit holes, wise? I don't know. This is why we can't keep a podcast together.
Yeah, you kept us on that.
It's very enjoyable, though. It's very enjoyable for me, for obvious reasons.
Simo drives us down the garden path. How do we end up here?
Gets Southgate sacked.
Anyway, Billy Boy, you want to talk us through your team?
Yes, my team. Just quickly before we move on to my team, remember when Forest beat Leicester in the FA Cup last season 4-1. Danny Ward was in goal then. So that's probably enough reason to not want to go for Danny Ward this week.
Yeah.
Anyway, my team is Nick Pope in goal, Kieran Trippier at the back alongside Joao Cancelo, and I've gone for a risky double up with Chelsea defenders. So I've gone for Reece James and also Wesley Fofana.
Right, so banking a lot that Chelsea do well against Palace.
Yeah, which I think could quite easily not happen because Palace are a decent side. Graham Potter's just come in. We don't know how good of a job he's going to do at Chelsea yet, whether he's even going to play Wesley Fofana. I mean, he's got to, hasn't he, surely?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's no one else.
Yeah, but this is Graham Potter as well we're talking about. So anyway, moving on. I'm just banking a lot on that Chelsea defence. I've done it, did it last season. It didn't work out. I'm banking on Graham Potter to be my saviour. Anyway, I've got Martinelli against Spurs in midfield, Kevin De Bruyne in midfield, and I did have, as you mentioned earlier, Kulusevski. I made an early transfer to take him out because he's picked up a knock. And I've transferred in Madison. Moving forward, I've got Haaland, who is currently my captain, Mitrovic, and also I transferred in Ivan Toney for Isaac, who also looks to be injured.
Do you not have Gabriel Jesus?
No, I took him out because of Arsenal's tough run of fixtures. I think, who've they got? They've got Spurs. Is it Man City and Liverpool next or something?
Who's the man who's
going to
get them a goal? Though?
That's right.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, like, if they're going to score goals in those games, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be him, isn't it?
I get that. But I feel like Toney could score more against Bournemouth and Newcastle than Gabriel Jesus will against Spurs and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Arsenal also have a blank game week in game week 12 because... I think it was because one of their Europa League fixtures had to get cancelled. So they've got a blank in game week 12 after the Leeds game. So that's also a reason. For the next few games before the World Cup, I'll possibly look at getting either Saka or Jesus back. But for now, I'm happy with Toney, although Jesus is obviously a worry.
I
feel like that one could come back and bite you, mate, that one. Jesus.
It could do, but Tony's got Bournemouth and Spurs don't concede an awful lot.
True. So. Well, I hope it comes back to bite you anyway.
Yeah, I know you
know. Right, Jerry Pye, talk us through your team.
Right, so I had two transfers. I banked my transfer from the last game week, so I've used them both. I've swapped out Danny Ward, who I did have, for David Rea from Brentford.
Wise.
So he's in goal. I have got Robert Sanchez as well, but while I do think that there's a strong possibility he might keep a clean sheet, I also think there's probably more of a possibility that Rea keeps a clean sheet against Bournemouth. So I'm going with Rea. I've got a back three.
Enter Kiefer Moore.
Yeah, exactly. This is where Dominic Solanke bags a hat-trick now.
People have been saying that for years, Jed. People have been saying that.
Either way, I've gone with Rea in goal. I've got a back three, Cancelo, Saliba and Trippier. Midfield, I've got five in there. So De Bruyne, Martinelli, Sancho, who was my other transfer, who I brought in for Kulusevski, Zaha and Gross. And then Jesus and Haaland up front, and Haaland's currently my captain. I'm still on the fence about whether to change it around a bit, though, because I've got Mitrovic on the bench, then me on the bench, and Lewis Dunk as well. So it's a strong bench, but I'm not really sure who to drop. You know, I was tempted to drop Cancelo, actually, because I do think the United might score, but then I thought, can I really afford to drop him because he might get an assist? Like, no. So I'm keeping it like this for now. I might panic right on the deadline and transfer in like Bembe.
I've got to be honest, Jed. I would 100% be having Mitrovic over Pascal Gross against Liverpool.
I think so. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking like Mitrovic potentially might be the better option.
Liverpool.
Newcastle are quite solid at the back though as well. Yeah. Like,
yeah, but
I think Gross isn't a bad point. Liverpool have been a little bit open. I don't think Gross is the worst, but if it was me,
about dropping Zaha as well, but then they can't, like, Zaha has always got a goal in him, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly, against anybody. That's why he stayed in my team. For me, it would be Mitrovic over Sancho, and I'd go with the front three.
You brought Sancho in because Sancho's hit a small, decent run of form of late, and I think that if anyone's going to score for United, it potentially could be him. Like him or
it could be any of 11 players.
It could,
thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say. It ain't gonna be Fred, is it?
Every time he gets any sort of criticism from this podcast, man, he just turns into fucking Xavi, man. It's fucking stupid.
No, I genuinely, I think this Manchester derby's got goals in it, and I think that Sancho's name is on one of them.
Well, I mean, if you're going to,
I saw him as a better option than that's the team from last week. That's not the pick squad.
See, the thing is, Ronaldo should cost way less than he fucking does, by the way, because like if you're looking for like a third choice sort of striker, he should be in about that price range because he doesn't play all the time under fucking.
No,
you know, I mean, he'll start every now and then. Though.
It's still Ronaldo, and I think he was.
But it does it. I mean, he's got like 0.something% ownership because not a buy. It's not a feasible.
But if he was playing every week like he was last season, then everyone would have him. If he was
to go off his existing value then.
Yeah.
So he still maintains value from the season before.
Yeah, I think he was also United's top scorer last season as well.
Mm.
So that'll be why.
Right, let's move on to the fixtures, boys. Right. So, Arsenal, Spurs, we've all got players involved in this. For me, goals in this game. I mean, although you've got the opinion that Conte could shut up shop and make it a tough watch and make it a tough game.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does either.
I think he's going to try and keep Arsenal quiet. With it being at the Emirates as well, if it's all-out attack, that Arsenal crowd's going to be behind them. If they can keep it quiet, Arsenal making limited chances, it's eventually going to turn. I don't mean that it's going to turn negative against Arsenal,
I think if Spurs kind of sit off and sit back, that give Arsenal the bulk of the ball and allow Arsenal to create. I think there's just a lot of good passes of the ball in that Arsenal team that you really risk them actually breaking through. And also the Emirates will get up for it. If Arsenal not consistently creating chances and having the bulk of the ball, you know, yeah, that atmosphere could go better.
It's the limiting of those chances, though, with the way that Spurs play. If they can limit the amount of chances that Arsenal make, mm-hmm. the Emirates isn't going to be as bouncing as what it would be if it's all-out attack with spaces for Martinelli, Saka and Jesus to run into. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I've got a feeling that it's got like 2-2 potential, this one.
Mm.
Or potentially more than that, you know? Like, there's goals in both sides, and I do think that they're both going to want to score. You know, I don't think they'll receive much negative play from either side, really. I think potentially, like you say, Arsenal might have a bit more of the ball, but I can genuinely see Conte firing the players up and going for it, and then, you know, firing Arsenal up as well by just winding them up and, you know, he did against Chelsea, you know?
I think Spurs the Spurs players, to me, feel like players that would perform better in a derby. I think that midfield of like Højbjerg and Bentancur, we know that's what the midfield's going to be, because it always is. Having a three-man midfield because they're just, the guys are just in sync then. They're just in their shit houses and they'll make it tough for the Arsenal midfielders. I think Højbjerg and Bentancur will be better than whatever partnership that Arsenal decide
to. Whoever plays at centre-half for Spurs is going to have a tough game against Jesus, because Jesus likes to put himself about as well. Yeah, there's going to be battles like that all across the pitch, isn't there?
Yeah, it'll probably be Dyer. If I was Jesus, he's going to probably stick him to the slowest centre back, which would probably. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be Davinson Sanchez, is it? It'll probably be.
No, it's going to be Dyer.
It's going to be Dyer that he's going to stick himself to. But Dyer is kind of in a good vein of form himself. He's been actually quite good this season.
Yeah, I suppose the most error-prone in that is probably Davinson Sanchez, isn't it?
He's the one that's got a mistake.
It's not going to be Romero. 100%. It's not going to be Romero.
Romero will be the one who gets the booking, though, for doing something like catching him late or trying to pull him down or something. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a certain booking in this game, it's going to be Richarlison.
Jake Richarlison starts. Who's the front three for Spurs going to be, do you think?
I think because of the knock on Kulusevski, it's got to be Richarlison. He's scored a couple in for Brazil as well in the international.
Yeah,
break,
so Son, really, obviously.
You can't drop any of them, and you can't not start Harry Kane in a derby.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's got to be those three, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be
Richarlison's going to be up for it. He's just going to be Richarlison. He's going to be fucking unbearable.
Exactly.
And I say that as a neutral.
That's why I kind of think the Spurs players are players that I would probably want in a derby over Arsenal players. All the Arsenal players are quite young, whereas there's some decent shithouses in that. Yeah. You know, I think
Premier League needs a Richarlison, doesn't it?
He's a villain.
We need
Richarlison
him
and the
villain.
Conte.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
It's a Conte player as well, isn't it?
Oh, proper. I think the only thing for. I mean, I can still see Arsenal winning this game, to be honest with you, despite everything that I've said. And the thing that makes me say that is it just reminds me of last year when Arsenal weren't really in the greatest of form. I suppose neither of them were. But Arsenal won that game at the Emirates 3-0, and it was the Saka and Smith Rowe show.
Yeah.
And everyone was just bouncing, and everyone was behind them. And
Smith Rowe really, really struggling to get in that side, you know?
I would be... I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm amazed that there aren't teams like Newcastle, for example, going after him. Because I know he's got a long-term contract and all, but he's not playing at the minute. He's not getting a look in that side. He's not going to get in over Martinelli. He's not going to get in over Odegaard. Obviously not going to get in over
Saka. He'll be playing in Europe, though, won't he? Yeah.
That's the thing.
You want
to be
playing week in, week out in the Premier League.
That's the thing. He's got the number
playing
shut. I think he probably believed that he'd be playing a lot of football, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you cannot... He
got injured, Martinelli came in and just took it by storm, which, fair play to him.
You can't drop Martinelli, he's been excellent.
You can't take him off. You can't drop him. Like,
I think I've seen a bad game from Martinelli this season.
He's not going to play him in the number 10 either, is he, when he's got Odegaard there? So.
Odegaard's captain.
He's the captain as well.
He's a beast as well. He's excellent.
He's a better player.
He's a more rounded... He's a more well-rounded player. And I would argue, other than maybe cutting inside and going at a player, that's the only thing that Smith Rowe has that Odegaard doesn't. Yeah. You know, and I would say that Odegaard's other qualities put him way ahead of Smith Rowe.
The only reason I mentioned Newcastle in particular was because they're after James Maddison. And I'm surprised that I can understand them. Yeah, I can understand them not biting the bullet and not overpaying it this time. But when you've got someone like Smith Rowe there who's not playing, why not just inquire about him and see how much you can get for him? Because they can go to Arsenal.
We can pay whatever you want. You know, they should just take the financial fair play hit. I think they'll try and avoid it, but they should just take it like City did. Just accelerating. That's what City did. Mm. They even with all the hiding of the funds, still got it. But, you know, that's what I think, honestly, if I was Newcastle, the wise thing to do is to take the season ban in Europe and improve your squad, you know? And I think they should go get Emil Smith Rowe for whatever the price it costs, you know, and start every week. I think they should go get James Ward-Prowse, whatever he costs. I think they should go get James Maddison. I think they should go get all the players that are the best of the rest, or players that are at top clubs and not getting the game time that they probably should. Those are the players Newcastle should target. And obviously you've got your Botman, who was obviously a player that was going to succeed in the Premier League. He was backed by pretty much everybody to come and do well in the Premier League, and he has. Isak is a player that a lot of clubs were after as well. So I understand why they're buying from abroad, but see, though, is I think what will really accelerate Newcastle's development is if they go get a James Maddison, if they go get a Smith Rowe, you know?
Yeah.
That's just my two cents. But let's talk about Bournemouth-Brentford. Bournemouth, obviously, we talked about this, touched on this earlier. Bournemouth just overperforming just slightly, but Brentford not having too bad a season. I'm not really seeing too many symptoms of second season syndrome.
No, I really thought there would be, but so far they've done pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked the signings that Brentford made. I thought Aaron Hickey was a fantastic player. A bit gutted that Villa didn't get him after being linked for so long. But
he should have got Ben, I think he improves Villa.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, excellent for Scotland. Excellent for Scotland, Aaron Hickey.
Ben,
I really do think he's going to be
well for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
That signing of Ben Mee just took them up a level in defence, and they've got that leader on the pitch, off the pitch, the Premier League experience that he brings with him as well. They're just a lot more solid at the back at the back now, I think, really. And they were never particularly a leaky defence anyway, but he just adds so much to them.
They seem to be coping really well with losing Eriksen as well.
He was always a luxury player for them, you know. He did turn things around immediately, Christian Eriksen, but I think it was clear to everybody that Eriksen was a level above of where he should have been playing. It's quite rare that you see a player that's that far ahead of the players around him. You really only see, I mean, for me, it's Wilfried Zaha as a standout player, you know, and not so much these days, but under the Hodgson era, you know, it was, I can't really think of many other players that were quite so clearly well ahead of the rest of their teammates in the same way that Christian Eriksen.
I think could probably add Grealish into that as well.
Jack Grealish as well is a fine example
as
well.
What did you just say then, Billy?
I know.
What?
You have no idea how much it hurt.
Yeah. I can see a tear falling down his cheek. I said it.
Praise your honesty.
You got one Jack Grealish as well.
Right. I'm going to have to turn the camera off in a second, lads.
Nah. You just hand back your Aston Villa fan membership. No.
Yeah, get that clipped. Right. I suppose we're already 30 minutes in, boys. Should we just talk about the big games?
Fulham, Newcastle.
Can do, West Ham, Wolves.
Leeds Villa. Looking forward to that game, by the way.
What is your preview for that? I can't call that game. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Leeds win is my prediction for that.
It pains me to say it, but I'd probably have to agree. Playing Leeds after an international break is just horrendous because of the way they play. It's just they've had 2 weeks break. It's just hounding. We've played them a couple of times. I think, I don't know if it was twice or just the once last year. We played them twice after a 2 week break, whether it was because of international break or FA Cup or whatever. We played them twice after a 2 week break and they were tough games. And they always are, particularly against a team like Leeds who play the way they do. It's just constant running, constant pressure. And we've got a lot of injuries as well. You know, we had Diego Carlos before. We've now got Boubacar Kamara, who's going to be a massive miss. Luca Dean as well.
Those are big players.
Yeah.
They're massive players.
I don't think that Villa can handle Leeds at the moment, to be honest.
I think if we had Kamara, even if we didn't have Luca Dean, I think if we had Kamara, we'd be all right. I certainly think it'd be a lot closer anyway. But I just think they're going to be... I don't want to say they're going to be too good because I don't think they are that good, but I just think they're going to have enough against us.
I'm kind of in the same vein as you, Billy, but I don't think Leeds are amazing. I just think they're a tough day for anybody.
Yeah, particularly. I'm going to reiterate it time and time again, particularly after an international break.
I think they've improved massively this season from where they were last season.
I think that goes for sure. They're not going to be scrapping down at the bottom of the table. That's for certain. But I still, they're not that team chasing Europe either.
No, definitely not. But I think that, like I say, you put them up against Villa, and I think that Leeds will be seeing that as a game that they've got to be winning. You know.
Especially with the vein of form that Villa are in as well. We're not pulling up any trees. We're looking really bad, to be fair. You know, we beat Southampton. How we won that game is beyond me. We really didn't. Neither team in that game particularly deserved to win.
People describe that as one of the poorest displays.
In
the Premier League.
Let's just say it was not an advert for the Premier League, was it?
No. Why is that, though? Because Villa, it's like Southampton has arguments to be made for. Like, we know the situation at Southampton. We're all aware of it. Yeah. Villa, there's a lot of good players at Aston Villa.
There's a lot of players that
have been wanted by top clubs all over Europe.
Yeah.
Players that probably could have went other places, you know?
For sure.
I don't understand, like, why.
I think the midfield is too weak, which Kamara has improved tenfold. I think our best midfield doesn't include John McGinn, personally.
I think it does.
I know he's been fantastic for Scotland. I know you love him, Simo. but he's just so hot and cold for Villa. He's one game he can be the best player on the pitch. The next game is non-existent. And when you've got someone like Douglas Luiz sat there on the bench who comes on and has an immediate impact and who comes on and has a connection with Kamara, like they've been playing together for 10 years, how he's been sat on the bench for as long as he is just beyond me personally. And I don't think we can drop Jacob Ramsey because of how good he is as well. So for me... The midfield shouldn't have John McGinn in it in a full strength Villa side, and I think we've got probably too many options up front. We've got you see teams like Liverpool, for example. You've got Mane, Salah, and Firmino previously, and look at the connection that they were able to build playing together week in, week out.
Yeah, they were guys that are playing 60 games a season with each other.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. But we've got Leon Bailey, we've got Buendia, Coutinho, Danny Ings, Ollie Watkins. The amount of combinations you can make out of those five players is just unfathomable.
Yeah, it seems to change every week for Villa, doesn't it?
He doesn't know
his best team yet. We're nearly 12 months in, and that's a major worry, really.
See, for me though, if you've got a fit Danny Ings starts against anybody.
I completely agree.
Ollie Watkins, I think, is inconsistent for me.
He is.
Chances missed.
It's the work
costly.
He does off the ball as well, though. He's constantly running, and the work that he puts in, you just can't knock him, because he is the work he does off the ball makes up for everything. And Danny Ings is just that Premier League proven player. I love Danny Ings so much. I love Ollie Watkins just as much. And in my opinion, both of them two should be starting together week in, week out. They should have that bond like Salah Mane, Firmino by now. Mate, obviously not quite as strong. But that should be the front two, with one of Leon Bailey, Buendia or Coutinho sat behind him in that little pocket.
That makes sense to me. It's a bit of a diamond in midfield.
Yeah. The only problem with that is then it leaves a lot of space. And yeah, exactly. It's possibly going back in time in terms of tactics and formation and stuff like that, that people probably may know how to play against now a bit better. So you're leaving yourself open to that, but you're also playing the best system that suits our players for the time.
Yeah, how do you get all the best players on a pitch?
Exactly. And I think in my personal opinion, that's the best way. And it's where we've got the most joy. But Villa fans and even Steven Gerrard insist on playing one up front with two wingers, which I can't get my head around. Because we've been playing like that for 10 months now. The couple of months that we play with two strikers up front and one in behind in the 10 is where we've been getting the most joy. So why
would
you want
to transform
back to... I think
the last time that you did play that, I think I messaged you immediately, Billy, and into the chat and said, this makes sense.
Yeah,
this makes sense. I can see what's happening here. If it was me personally, if you were going to play two up front and one in behind them as a 10, I'd probably want a third defender. I'd probably want a third centre back, but you just don't have the bodies to accommodate that. Because I think the diamond has been around for so long.
Yeah,
you know, a 6, 2 8s, and a 10. That a lot of teams kind of know how to pick that pick that apart.
And the progression in tactics, probably the way that teams play naturally now, probably dismantles that anyway.
If you get the problem with that formation is that if you've got a team that can play out for the back well, you can bypass the two strikers in that 10 and two or three passes, and then you're by them, and then you're in the final third of the opposition. So that is the problem. That's why. Obviously, the one striker system. That's why one striker systems have become so popular. Is because teams naturally are better at playing out for the back and bypassing players. So if you've got like two strikers and a 10, and you're up against, you know, I don't know, Manchester City or Liverpool, or even a Wolves or a Brighton that are good, that have good quality players that can bypass that. So I think I think that's why I'd probably. Rather than have the diamond, I would probably just want a two, sort of, you know, very similar. In fact, you know what? Pretty much similar to the way Conte plays.
Yeah.
You know, see, it's just Højbjerg and Bedford in the midfield, with, you know, in front of three centre backs gives them a lot. And Spurs can have that high line of three players. That makes sense to me.
No, I get that, but. But
you got to get the best players in the park.
Exactly. And I think playing that system probably doesn't allow us to play the likes of Jacob Ramsey, which he's just got to be playing football. He's just got to be playing. What a player. But just to mention about Gerrard quickly, he got the win against Southampton, but I don't think that changes anything. He has to...
Still under pressure.
Oh, massively.
And he's probably a long way.
I thought you were about to say he has to go then.
I'm not far off it. I mean,
I thought you were going to say that. He has to go, blood.
It's time to go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to lie. It does feel to me that the hill that Gerrard needs to climb to get back into a situation where he's not under pressure just feels too much for me. I just think
And I mean, you've got David Moyes now under pressure at West Ham. You've got Brendan Rodgers under massive pressure, probably going to lose his job at the weekend.
Rodgers to Villa. Do you know what I read? apparently, Leicester cannot sack Brendan Rodgers because it breaches financial fair play. I'm not sure how true.
Oh my god.
That's amazing. Right, but you're not manager anymore, but we'll keep you on sweeping the floors, isn't it?
Because they would have to pay him to get rid of him, you know.
Goes over.
Oh, that's funny.
You're assistant manager now.
I don't think Rodgers. I don't think Gerrard sees out the season then until the next international break, until the World Cup. I think they're both gone before the World Cup.
They should just swap jobs.
It wouldn't surprise me.
They should just swap jobs. To be honest,
I don't know if I'd want Rodgers. I think if
I don't think
for me,
it matters what you want. I think you're getting Rodgers.
For me, it's a very simple formula, and if Gerrard goes, it's Pochettino. If we're not getting Pochettino, it's nobody. We'd stick with Gerrard because I think we've got a lot of South Americans there, and he's the upper echelon type of manager to still keep the Boubacar Kamaras and the Diego Carloses happy, who came because of Gerrard in the summer.
I get what you're saying, right? But then you just kind of end up where Everton were, where they had Carlo Ancelotti for God knows what reason. And the minute it starts going remotely well, like things don't even need to be going great, and then Real Madrid, you know, and that will be the case. If Pochettino does well, then a club that are around Europe that are bigger than Villa will just be, have more money than Villa or playing European football, give Pochettino somewhat more status, and then they will just come in and take him from you the minute things start going well.
I can understand why, as a neutral, you probably think that, but I believe and would like to believe in Villa's project, and I would like to think that Pochettino believes in Villa's project to see it through. Maybe if he's taken us to that European spot, maybe all of a sudden a Champions League club comes in, and then we can get a similar level manager.
A similar level manager.
This is why I wouldn't be too disappointed if Gerrard got the Liverpool job in a few years' time, because it would mean that he's taken us to that level to become a Liverpool manager, which then gives us the opportunity to get off the top of my head, an Antonio Conte, for argument's sake, that kind of thing. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't think for 1 second that Antonio Conte had come to Villa, but it puts us at that level where it's a potential we could look at.
Here's what I think, Billy. Here's what I think. I think
you're a Coventry fan.
You're shooting for the stars here with Pochettino. I think you're going to end up with Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
realistically.
I think Dyche goes to
Danny Rose. And reality is Jose Mourinho.
Yeah,
and exactly. You're saying, what about Pochettino? And reality says Moyes. You know what I mean?
Dyche goes to Villa or Dyche goes to Leicester. Like, Poch does not go to either of those clubs. I'm sorry, but he just doesn't.
I can't wait to come back in a few weeks' time when we've got fucking Pochettino. Go on,
I think he actually would go
to Villa. I'll be surprised if he does. Then fair play.
He would come to Villa.
If he does, then 100%. Fair play. But like I said, I see Dyche. I don't see.
Yeah, of course you see Dyche, because that's all you fucking see.
I don't want Dyche to go there. I don't want Dyche to go there. That will make me like Dyche less. But I do see that happening, though.
That's all you fucking see. Oh, I think... No, you're not. Literally, any job that comes up.
Sean Dyche would be good for that.
Yeah.
You should never look beyond Sean Dyche.
I don't think you should. But I think that's a good place to end, boys.
What I'd really love is for Gerrard to just stick it out for a bit, for Southgate to get sacked by England, and then Southgate in at Villa later on.
Oh.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I would hand my season ticket in on the spot. I'm just gonna say now. I've not done the maths on this. I want to, but I can't be arsed. The amount of managers since Gareth Southgate's been England manager and the amount of managers sacked in the Premier League since then, and not one fucking job has Gareth Southgate been linked with. And there's a reason for that. And that's because he's shit.
Was he not linked to Manchester United?
I'm sure he got linked to the United job at some point.
Yeah, he did. He get heavily linked to my. He was even odds on.
After Mourinho went, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Mourinho, yeah. That was like Southgate, because he wasn't terrible. They had like the easiest run of the World Cup ever. Yeah. And then, right. You know.
No, he was never getting that job for one reason and one reason only, because he is shite.
I mean, Evan. He'd get you 10th. You know what I mean? Right.
Man United are you talking about?
Any team. I think literally from Bournemouth to City. Bournemouth's not even bothered. From Leicester to Arsenal, Gareth Southgate finishes 10th with any squad. I just think he's that type of manager.
I think you've lost
your
head.
I think he's just so non-risk-taking, middle-of-the-road, fucking... useless.
That gets you relegated in the Premier League nowadays, though.
It does, actually. No, that's a fair point. Safety, not taking risks does pretty much guarantees you go down, because you tip up against fucking Brighton and they're playing along the floor and you're like, this isn't what it used to be.
Sorry, just got cramp in my leg.
Right. Fucking hell, Jedge, give Billy cramp. Thinking about Southgate and Villa.
That's all I wanted.
We're all gonna finish. Thank you very much for joining me, boys.
A pleasure as always.
And until
always
next time.
Always a pleasure, mate.
Cheer bye. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.